Welcome to the infected.
The best way to listen to ghost stories is with the lights out. There is nothing like a dark room to attract ghosts. And you may like to have some of our mutual friends come and listen with you. Are the lights out? Good. Doors closed, blind drawn. Excellent. Now that we're all here, we can begin.
Thank you, Alfred Hitchcock, and let's start off indeed. We hope you're doing well, and thank you for tuning in to The Infected, our podcast from the heart of darkness. We will start off with the wonderful and romantic track The End by A Flock of Seagulls. So, that was A Flock of Seagulls. Did you, you know these guys before?
Yeah, I remember a couple of songs. I think Wishing / Photograph of You is one of their tracks. Iran is one that I remember because a couple of years later we had a war in Iran and then that song came up again.
Yeah, they did that. And also Space Age Love Song may come to mind. That's on their first or second LP. But this song we just played is from their third one, Before They Faded Into Obscurity. I have sweet memories of this band. So I tried to pick some songs that have some meaning, that always gives another layer to the stories we can tell about these songs. When I was working at a big motorcycle exposition in Amsterdam in 2005, I was trying to sell subscriptions to visitors to a motor magazine. And 15 years later, I'm still working in media, but that was my very first step. And did quite well, sold a lot of subscriptions, and was exhausted at the same time after each day. I went home on my bicycle with Interpol on my iPod, but also older stuff from A Flock of Seagulls. It may have something to do with The Flock of Seagulls being on the Grand Theft Auto Vice City soundtrack that I played at that time.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's just something that you remember if you listen to it a lot in a certain period of time. And it was on my iPod Shuffle. Remember that?
Yeah. Yeah.
It was basically a glorified USB stick with a headphone socket.
But really expensive. Anyway, yeah.
Yeah, ridiculously expensive. And, well, this band from Liverpool, they brought post-punk to the mainstream, I guess, in a terrific and successful way with their hit song I Ran, that you also just mentioned, and much, much more. But this one is from their third album, and they weren't as popular anymore at that time. I picked this one because it sounded the most moody, I think. And also, the whole album, the third one, is completely overlooked and underrated. I think it sounds very, well, romantic, to be honest. And above all, I thought it was time we gave these guys, and also the more commercial side of post-punk, some stage in our podcast.
Yeah.
They were formed in 1979 by Mike Score, together with his brother Ali Score, and they turned out to be very influential in the 80s. They had a string of hits.
They're called Score, these guys? Their last name is Score?
Yes, S-C-O-R-E, wow. And that's their real last name.
Wow.
So they did a lot of music videos as well in the MTV era. And in the videos that they did, Mike Score introduced his signature insane hairstyle. You should check it out on YouTube because he has a very pointy hair on the front of his head, kind of a unicorn flap across his forehead. And the thing was, it was important that bands would stand out in this era because there was a lot of videos, a lot of acts, a lot of bands, a lot of post-punk. And you should be instantly recognizable. That's what they definitely were. So anyone that grew up in the 80s and the MTV era can probably remember that pointy, sprayed, crazy hair of Mike. Anyway, he's now as bald as a pool ball, or if that's a word, or a snooker ball. And it's also quite sad to see they play at wedding parties these days. How the mighty have fallen. Because these guys were really, really big at that time. But who am I to judge? Everyone needs to make a living.
Yeah, definitely. I would love to have them on my wedding. Not that I would love another wedding, but if I would, I would, right?
Yeah, I get what you're saying. Yeah.
Yeah, nice song. It's the typical second half of the 80s sound that the band has. It's better produced than much of the post-punk from 81, 82, 83. It's kind of the moodiest one out of that album, but I think it still sounds quite optimistic and open. So definitely a track which is worth a listen.
What more do we have in store for our listeners today? Because I just got stuck in the 80s again, Jeroen. I really tried to get something new, or at least past 2010 for this week, but I got stuck again in the 80s.
I have a really nice Insta Outcast, which we will play later on in the show. But there's more stuff that we never play. And I think there's one element in goth music that we have completely neglected so far, and it's time that should change. And I'm talking about Psychobilly. Are you aware of Psychobilly?
I am not really aware. I've heard of it, but I can't name tracks that go with this.
Okay. Last time I was talking to someone about Psychobilly, they thought I was on about some psycho called Billy. And who was it? Yeah. Who was in a horror movie?
Billy Bob.
Yeah. Okay. But actually, there is a relationship with horror movies. Psychobilly is a goth post-punk subgenre that mixes elements of rockabilly and punk rock. So it's rockabilly, but dirtier, louder, sweatier, and combined with punk rock, inspired by bad sci-fi and horror movies. Now, many psychobilly bands are trios of electric guitar, upright double bass, and often a standing drummer, with one of these guys singing. And I think that the band that started it all is probably the Cramps. They're widely given credit for laying the foundations of the genre. They were born in the 1970s punk underground of New York, and they were the first psychobilly band to gain an international following. And the song we'll play, Human Fly, was the opener for the Cramps when they were double-billed with The Fall in London and Manchester on their 1980 tour.
Ah, yeah. Full.
And actually, last time we discussed the song by U2, and this situation where he was watching a band and he was kind of scared.
Yes, I very much remember at 19 or something. Yeah.
So this is actually probably the tour that Bono attended. and which inspired him to write that song 11 o'clock TikTok, where he got inspired and scared because of the chaos at the concert. I found both flyers and a review of the concert. It really was a mess. So this concert that Bono probably attended, among other things, there were not only candles, the stage was actually stormed by skinheads at a certain point in time. And instead of running away, the band just kept playing. Looks interior, the singer actually went to the dance floor, stripped naked and lied down on the ground. Kept on singing.
Awesome.
And there's a pretty feisty girl guitarist who sort of snarled at the guys, and then she got one out of the audience so far as to defend her, while the other guys just kept playing and the skinheads kept fighting on the stage. So these are our rowdy times.
I'm intrigued.
It's rowdy music. Here we are, the Cramps with Human Fly.
Eyes, I got a garbage brain that's driving me insane. And I don't like a ride, so push the best aside. And baby, I won't care, cause baby, I don't scare. Cause I'm a reborn maggot using gym warfare. Right.
So do you know what gargoyles are, Goof?
I think I do. They are kind of the Dracula-like animals that sit on top of buildings, right?
Yeah, yeah.
With their mouths open and water can flow through it or not.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. The water spews, yes.
Ornaments.
Some ornaments. Some of them look like demons. Some of them look like dragons. But
Demons, yeah, that's the right word, yeah.
So the gargoyles over Copenhagen. Back-to-back two psychobilly bands. The first one from the first wave of psychobilly, and which you just heard was a Danish band from the second wave of psychobilly, which started in the second half of the 80s. The genre soon spread throughout Europe, inspiring a number of new acts, such as the British band Demented Are Ghosts, Mad Sin from Germany, and the Necromantics from Denmark, which you just heard. And all of these bands have goth themes to their music and their shows. I really like the atmosphere and the energy that this particular type of post-punk goth music brings.
Energy is absolutely the right word you picked there. A lot of intensity and energy. And also, if you're listening, you should check out the YouTube videos that they did, the video clips, because it's very worthwhile. First, we heard The Cramps, and when I saw it, yes, I have heard of The Cramps, because I see them on t-shirts a lot. He's bare-chested, performing with his crotch open almost. Then he stops, puts the microphone in his mouth, closes his pants, and goes on again. The Necromantics videos is awesome as well. There's just one guy with his hair back in a grease sort of fashion. He's playing a bass, an analog bass, old style, which is shaped like a coffin. So
yeah.
Also visually, this is worthwhile.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. See, so the guy that you just described is the frontman of the Necromantics. His name is Kim Necroman, and he plays the coffin bass, which is a custom-built double bass, indeed with the body in the shape of a coffin. This song is from the 2002 album Return of the Loving Dead, which was actually a breakthrough album for these Danes in America. You can hear the themes in the music as well. I'm trying to escape. I'm on the run from these hell-sent creatures. They're all over me. Please help me, someone. Dial 911. The invasion has begun. This is the end of humanity. This is real tongue-in-cheek goth fun, right?
Yes, yes, it is. They were discovered in the US, that you just mentioned? Or?
Well, they became part of the emerging psychobilly movement on the West Coast, which was centered around the Hellcat label, which was very active in the early 90s. And this band actually toured the United States several times, and the album was supported with the music video that you just described. So some real money was put into making this band big and making it happen in America.
Yeah.
Specifically with the music video for the song Gargoyles Over Copenhagen, which I will put a link to in the show notes.
Cool. You can definitely see that that investment. And also the reason I ask, because this video alone has close to 1 million views. Quite a lot for such a specific genre and song that I at least didn't hear of.
No, they also at this incarnation, because the Necromantics are still playing, and they've existed for 25 years at least. The Necroman, Kim Necroman, is still the frontman, but in this incarnation of the Necromantics, you also find one of my favorite guitar players, Peter Sandorf. Who's a Danish guy. Actually, his brother Christian was the drummer at the time. So the two Sandorf brothers and Kim Necroman were this band. Peter Sandorf is a great guitar player who's now touring with another band who also have a pretty creepy theme and a sort of psychobilly tinged with Mexican influences, which I'm going to play for you some other time.
Cool. I really like these two tracks back-to-back, Jeroen. And it's also a new flavor within the same stuff that we like, so it's very refreshing. I think at this point we've arrived at the infected trifecta.
The infected trifecta.
So let's, for one more time, let's explain the rules of the infected trifecta, because not only do we deliver great stories, we deliver music, we actually give you this game that you can play.
So try to listen and enjoy these songs first and foremost, and see what you come up with that was the theme of this week. So before we play the first out of three tracks, let me just tell you a little bit of background. I'm talking about Secret Sounds, that's the band. And sometimes you are surprised and happy as a small kid that receives a gift that he really wants for Christmas. You know that feeling. I picked up on this Dutch band Secret Sounds through a mix of other stuff that I picked up on SoundCloud. The song we're about to listen to is called State of Sound, gripped me immediately, and I was eager to find out more about Secret Sounds. And what really speaks to me is the romantic, also American-sounding moody vibe. And it feels like this song could be featured on the soundtrack of The Breakfast Club. You remember that movie by Howard Hughes?
I couldn't forget about... Okay, I'm sorry. Yeah.
Very 80s, very poppy, but also it has the exact right melancholic mood that I absolutely love. And also it has some wave influences here and there that you'll pick up on. And it's very well put together, this song. Also the rest of this album, I think. So it makes me feel homesick to a time or a situation that I really can't put into place. I'm not sure, but it's get that melancholy. And lucky enough, one of the founding fathers is still active on Facebook, and I got in touch with him. His name is Wilmer Wolf. Can you imagine a cooler name than that?
That's pretty damn cool, but that's his artist name, right?
It's his artist name. His real name is Wilmer Schouten, but let's for argument's sake keep him Wilmer Wolf, because we're in the zone right now. I can't think of a cooler name than that. Well, maybe Winston Wolf, the gentleman body disposal guy from Pulp Fiction, played by Harvey Keitel.
Oh, right.
Certainly similar. Anyway, Wilmer has been active since his teenage years in tampering with tape recorders and writing lyrics, and in the 80s he became the frontman of Secret Sounds. They released a string of successful albums. They also had great live performances, and it's very hard to do if you're good in the studio to also bring that to the stage. Since the 90s, Wilmer has been active as a producer and engineer for Raccoon. It's a very famous band, at least in the Netherlands. And Adrian Borland from The Sound, which we covered extensively a few episodes back. So after his studio years, Wilmer suffered from depression, addiction, and a loss of family members. That's a very tragic story. Basically, he lost everything that he cared for during these years in a short time period. It took him years to get back on track, and in 2017, he released a solo album by the name of The Inside Story. Not only is Wilmer a very talented musician, but above all, a very friendly and likable guy. So thank you, Wilmer, for taking the time to do the interview with us. That is now available on our website for you to enjoy on theinfected.nl in our show notes. Here we go. Secret Sounds with State of Sound. So, dear listeners, we just heard three great tracks. What did you think the underlying theme was of these three? What did you think, Jeroen? Wild guess.
It's got to be Dutch pride, man. Dutch pride.
Yeah.
These are three Dutch bands, so yeah. And we've not been very chauvinistic, I have to say, in this show.
We've been very modest, I agree.
Yeah, probably played much more from England than from any other country, if I start to think back. But these three bands are all three Dutch bands. The kickoff being done by Secret Sounds. Then we moved on to Claw Boys Claw with the fantastic track Hippie on the Highway, which is from 1983. And this band was founded in 1983. And they were a great live band right off the bat, especially the singer, Te Bos, who really stands out with his powerful voice, going, you know, places that many singers don't dare to go.
Yeah, because he's very, it's a very distinctive way of singing in this track.
It's singing, it's wailing. The funny thing is, he's actually a guy who stutters when he normally talks, but when he sings, it's all gone.
Uh-huh.
But he's also a very creative guy. He's a designer. He also did all the graphic design for the band. And he's definitely has a powerful voice, and it's sensational and exciting. And his stage presentation, no less, you know, he jumps around flapping his wings, sorry, arms, and really generally brings a lot of energy to the stage. And they played post-punk garage rock with a lot of sound and energy in the spirit of the Stooges and the Gun Club. I think those are two influences that you can sort of hear. And with their exciting mix of rock, punk, rockabilly and blues, the band really became quite famous quickly in the Netherlands. And in November 1983, they won the first prize in a talent show.
Oh, yeah?
And the first prize was 500 guilders, or €227, or about $200. And with this $200, they booked 3 hours in the studio, which was all they could get for the money. And in those 3 hours, they recorded their entire debut album, which this song is from.
Great investment.
So yeah, the sound quality leaves much to be desired, but I guess that figures, right?
Yeah, I didn't even pick up on that, but these guys invested their dollars well, euros and guilders.
Definitely. So you can clearly hear the spontaneity, the power, the joy in playing and the energy. And it sounds like a band that almost bursts out of the rehearsal room, if you ask me.
Yeah, and they're still active? Because I see they released something in 2018.
Yes, they've been going strong ever since. Now, this particular record, the first one, was released on vinyl, obviously, on their own Hipcat label, probably around May 1984, and it was quite successful. Also due to the unrelenting flow of concerts the band gives. And that's what when I saw them for the first time in 1984, and as so often during their concerts, the roof went off. What an excitement and lust for life these guys bring to the party. Really impressive. And I particularly remember another time I saw them, which was in 1993, one of the largest Dutch festivals called Pinkpop, which had them headlining together with Living Colour, Lenny Kravitz and Black Krause. So, you know, if you're on stage together with acts with that kind of stature, for a band like Clawboys Claw, that was pretty spectacular. Listening to this song, it struck me how much this band actually sounds like Nirvana, 10 years before that band was founded. The riffs, the use of dynamics, the emotion and the energy, all the elements of grunge can actually be experienced in the shows and the music of Clawboys Claw, which are from 1984, not 1994. So interesting to make that comparison. I never noticed, obviously, in the 80s, but listening back now, you go like, hey, wow, they had the whole formula down.
Yeah, loud sections intermixed with softer sections. Yeah, the grunge feel is definitely there.
Yeah, so that was the second element of the trifecta. And then the third Dutch band was?
It was Tent. The song was called Distances. It's also from 83. It's a coincidence. Also Dutch, also from 83. Mm-hmm. Little story behind this track and why I picked it out. Back in 2009, I decided I wanted to collect vinyl. You've heard me rant and rant on my vinyl collection. And if you see my Instagram, it's filled with pictures. Pictures are all I have now because I sold it all. And I wanted to play it on the most expensive turntable I could find anyway. A few years back, I sold it all. And one of the first records I dug up, so you remember buying physical media, like your first CD or your albums anyway. This one was by Tent. The album is Without Shelter. It was in a cardboard box, together with the soundtrack of Top Gun and a lot of other stuff, and I purely picked it out because of the record cover. It looked interesting. And for €1, it was worth a shot. So it turned out to be one of my best and most rare finds during a 10-year collecting spree. It was at a thrift store in Amsterdam, close to work. And it turned out these guys were a Dutch band from the coastal town of Heemstede, close to Haarlem, because I had to do some research after I bought the record and I liked it. There's not that much information to be found. I think it's just good music all around, and a bit of a post-punk edge is also there, and I think the track we just listened to, Distances, is one of the best on the album. It sounds a bit clinical and a bit mechanical here and there, but also with sections of atmosphere and mystery. And I think this track could have become a radio hit, but it all stayed under the radar for these guys because they did a lot of gigs. But they soon disbanded in 1985 after releasing only two albums. So that's Dent. That's the story.
I like the sound of the synthesizers. It's very there's many different sounds in one track. Some of them are very synth poppy. Another sound is made me think of Japan. Very atmospheric, sort of broad sweeps. Very nice also. And it's an interesting song because about halfway through it takes a completely different turn, which sort of grabs your attention just when you've sort of drifted off away with the music.
Yeah, that's very accurate because there are a lot of tracks on this album tend to do that. It takes another turn, but makes it interesting.
Yeah, it's cool stuff. And I never heard of Tent, even though I'm Dutch, and even though I was around in the 80s, and I actually, you know, went to clubs and bars and concerts. So you picked this out purely because of the cover, right?
Purely because of the black and white cover, and I just paid one buck, and it was one of the best buys I did.
It's funny, I just had a discussion with a friend of mine. He has a girlfriend who has this ability to walk into a record store or a thrift store, and then pick out stuff that nobody's ever heard of, because she thinks the cover is funny.
Yeah.
And whenever she buys something like that for a euro, it always is a great album.
That's
and whenever
awesome.
He tries to do that, he comes up with crap, and he sort of hates her for it.
She has a sixth sense or a gift.
Yeah. I mean, that's beautiful, right? It's sort of a reading through the album cover, that you can sense the music that's behind it. Maybe you have that talent too, man.
I'm not sure, because I also did a lot of misbuys by judging stuff by their cover, but that's for another time.
You know, they say you can't judge a book by its cover, but we can try with albums, right?
Yeah, we can definitely try. So I'm eager to listen to something fresh and new, Jeroen. Can you help me out?
We definitely did the 80s in this episode. We also did the 90s in this episode, but it's time to move to the present tense.
Awesome.
So here's today's Insta Outcast. And we've been talking to Violent Vicky, who has a dangerous name. She has an album out really recently. It was released last week. You're going to be listening in a bit to her track Serotonin. So she's been active on the scene for about 7 years, but still is something of an enigma. I tried to find out more about her by looking her up on the internet, and there's not all that much being published about her online.
Interesting.
So we reached out and did an interview with Vicky. And you can read the full interview on our site, theinfected.nl. Basically, we got to know Vicky a little bit, and the name Violent Vicky sounds pretty punk, but in the interview she describes herself as a chill, funny, sober, vegan hippie, no longer into alcohol and drugs, and not quite as punk as I was before. So, she's a one-woman act from California, USA, living close to San Francisco. She wrote these songs over the course of the last few years, and recorded them with E, her collaborator. He did the guitar parts and some of the co-production. She's all about the songwriting and the synths. And even though she's living a wholesome life these days, powered by fruit, greens, airs, and sun, the song is pretty punky and intense. Let's listen to Serotonin.
Thank you.
just listened to Violent Vicky. I liked it. It's very fresh sounding with some recognizable older themes that I really enjoy. A lot of synth power going on there. And you mentioned her collaborator did the guitars. I'm not sure though if I hear guitars in this song. Could be. Could also be some distorted synths you hear.
Yeah, it's hard to tell. But it gets really intense around the 3 minute mark. And the video clip is worthwhile too. It's great fun to watch. It looks like she's bouncing through the forest, like, I don't know, bride, marriage gone wrong, bride gone insane. Sort of a ritual going on. It's quite it intense and creepy a bit.
Yeah.
I think that you mentioned the TV series.
Yeah, the imagery reminds me of True Detective on HBO. That's a really great series.
Yeah.
Season one, where they go into the dirty south, find all kinds of rituals and occult stuff that they are trying to investigate. Yeah.
Check it out. We'll put the link in the show notes, as well as we have the interview with Vicky, where she bears a bit more of her soul and her motivation and about the songs, specifically about serotonin. This song, she said that she hoped people would feel connected, elated, and understood when listening to it. I'm not sure the understood part got through with me. I still have a lot of questions about the whole ritual and the gown and everything that was going on. But I definitely dig the track. I think it's a really fat track. It's awesome.
Yeah, I'm also intrigued, and I love the track.
So this ends another episode of The Infected. Please, dear listeners, let us know how you like this episode, or if you have a song that you would like to hear on the show and you would have us investigate and discuss, do tell. Just use the contact form on our awesome site at theinfected.nl, where you can also find really nice t-shirts, caps, or a stylish coffin for your iPhone. You will find our merchandise at theinfected.nl, and we still have a really special offer for you. You can use the discount code INFECTME for free shipping. And thank you for those two people that ordered something last week. We hope your swag is great. Let us know.
I'm really liking my gray hoodie.
Yeah. I have to admit that we spent some hard-earned cash on our own merchandise. So we're making a profit, but pretty much only on ourselves so far. Still, we have a lot of fun with the merch. We have this cool stuff. If you like it, you want to support us, get something out of the store. But that's not all you can do on infected.nl. We also have free stuff for you there, which is custom Spotify playlists, a fine collection of all the songs played on the show in one handy playlist. When you've heard the stories once, maybe you just want to listen to the songs, can do that. The site also has exclusive interviews and show notes with the stories and relevant links. And if you enjoyed the show, please subscribe. You can do this on Spotify, Google, or iTunes. We'll be waiting for you.
Your platform of choice.
That's all for now. Thanks for listening. We must be off. Our minions are redecorating the stained glass crypt windows, and we need to encourage them to make sure all is ready before sunrise. Sayonara, children of the night.